Sister May, please come off of mute. The floor is yours.
Good morning, sisters. It is an honor and a pleasure to have one of my younger sisters come before you to speak today. Her name is Sarah Davis. If I were to rename Sarah, I would call her Dorcas. I would call her Mary. I would call her Martha. I think she exhibits the qualities of the women of the Bible that we have discussed over the past few months or the past year. She is God's woman. She's a woman of faith, a woman of service, a woman of commitment. She's married to William Davis, who is the elder at Suitland Road Church of Christ. She is a person who does not mind sharing the lessons that she has learned from life, whether they're good lessons, whether they're bad lessons, whether they are just lessons to lift someone up. So at this time, I would like for you to stay on mute and clap it up so that she can see you and welcome Sarah Davis.
Thank you. The first thing I would like to do is I want to thank the Beltway Ladies Ministry for allowing me the honor and the privilege of speaking to all of you ladies on the call today. My lesson title is A Streetcar Named Desire. I'm going to lift this lesson from Galatians 5:24, and I'm going to ask my designated reader if she would read that scripture. Galatians 5:24-26.
Okay, so Galatians 5:24-26. And I have that scripture. And it says, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another.
Thank you. 26. So I want to take a few minutes of your time today to look at and to examine our desires. The word desire, defined by the dictionary, is a strong conscious impulse to have, to be, or to do something. A strong conscious impulse to have, or to be, or to do something. I'm a native Washingtonian. I grew up with streetcars. And I found that streetcars have something in common with desires. Streetcars were used to move us and to drive us places. Our desires also drive us and move us. Streetcars had seats on them. Our desires also have a seat. The seat of our desires is in our minds or our spiritual heart. During our time of reflection today, I'd like to encourage all of us to examine our hearts and minds and ask ourselves this question, either now during the lesson or at the end of the lesson, ask ourselves this question. Where are our desires taking us? It is crucial that we understand that our desires actually control how we live. And I use the word control because, as I stated before, the seat of our desires is in our minds. And our mind is our control center. Messages come into our mind and our flesh reacts accordingly. Sometimes in life, we prefer to deal with what is simply required instead of what we should desire. Our level of service and commitment to the Lord is very different when we are operating on a strong desire to do something as opposed to just meeting what we feel. What we feel is a required level of service. Let's look at a few Bible examples of how people's desires affected their decisions. The first one is, there's a price to pay for getting what we want. If we look at Genesis 3:6, I'm going to ask Joyce, please read Genesis 3:6.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
Thank you. So when we look at that and we look at the price that was paid for getting what Eve wanted, we realize introduction of sin, the price was the fall of mankind. So we're going to look at yet another example, Cain and Abel, Genesis 4:7. Would you read that?
Genesis 4:7. If thou dost will, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not will, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him.
So in this particular example, God warned Cain about the consequences of his desires. He let him know, you know what? You had an opportunity to do right, just like your brother did. Abel did well. He said, you had that same opportunity to do well, did you not? But sin is lying at your door. And if you don't get rid of it, it's going to overtake you. It's going to rule you. And in verse 13, in that same Genesis scripture, what does Cain say? What does he declare, Joyce?
And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear.
Okay. So the next example that I'm going to quickly cover deals with David and his fall, desiring Bathsheba. Oh, that's one of the stories that we just love to talk about sometimes. We're not going to turn to that particular scripture, but I am going to tell you where to find that story so you can look at it on your own time. Samuel 11. The thing about David with Bathsheba, David had a lot of wives. So David's on the rooftop. He sees this woman, someone else's wife, bathing on the rooftop. He apparently, you know, develops a strong desire he's hot and bothered, bottom line. David had enough wives that he could have gone on back in his house, hello, and took care of what he needed to take care of to be okay. But no, that wasn't going to work. This woman apparently looked different than anything he already had, or, you know, I don't know. But what I do know is that he decided to make the decision to send for her, lay with her, and consequently, you know, when she found out that she was with child and she sent word to him. Now, instead of David saying, okay, I messed up, let me go to God, pray about this thing, repent and ask God to help me to straighten this mess out. No, that's not what David did. So a lot of times we have some David in us. What David wanted to do was David wanted to straighten out his mess from the outside in. He wanted to fix it so that it would appear to other people that he didn't do what he did. So he says, okay, so I've been with her, she's with child, so I'm going to rig up a trick of some kind to get her husband back home from the war, have him lay with his wife, and then the child can be blamed on him, and then everything's good. Outside in. God knew, but David wasn't concerned about that. He's concerned about what people are thinking. What are they looking at? So we have a tendency to try to fix stuff from the outside in, when what we really need to do is fix it from the inside out, when our desires are not right. And of course, you know, if you're familiar with the story, you know that eventually David did attempt to fix that relationship with God, but only after a prophet came and talked with him, only after he had caused the death of the woman's husband, you know, a prophet came to him and made him aware that God, you know, saw his sinful state, and then David was repentant. But prayerfully, what we want to do is we just want to desire from the very beginning, when we recognize we've messed up, instead of just staying in that downward spiral like David did, fix the stuff, but fix it from the inside out. Evil acts begin with evil desires. And God always warns us when our desires are not pleasing to him. Fast forward. How often do we see something that's different than what we already have and we desire to have it? Sometimes we get into a big financial cost and the stuff turns out to be not so hot after all, maybe even a lemon. Or you might find that crooks spend more time using it than you do, like your cars and your cell phones and tennis shoes, whatever it is. And we just keep throwing good money after bad. My second point is, sometimes we satisfy immediate desires versus long-term goals. We're going to look at Genesis very quickly, 25:32-33.
And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob.
So when we look at this example, satisfying immediate desires versus long-term goals, Esau was hungry. He was just hungry, okay? He just wanted a meal. And rather than holding out just a little while longer, he decided, no, I'm going to satisfy this desire right now. I'm going to just sell my birthright, okay? So for me, this had a special meaning because I'm diabetic, okay? And sometimes, you know, with diabetics, we tend to eat stuff. We know, eat and drink things. We know it's harmful. We know it's harmful, but we do it anyway. Why? Because we desire it. And then later on, we end up on dialysis, or we end up with a heart condition or some kind of medical condition that is very bad. And I can remember very clearly when I was diagnosed with diabetes and I had fought the idea of taking medications and changing my diet and exercising. I hate exercising. But anyway, I didn't want to do those things. But when the doctor sat down and had that very sobering conversation with me and let me tell you what's going to happen if you continue on this road, if you continue on this streetcar that you're riding on right now, this is where you're going to end up. And when she finished with me, she didn't have to worry about having that conversation with me again. And, I made the changes that I needed to make. Point number three, we satisfy right desires the wrong way. Desire for companionship is normal. It's not a bad desire. Desire for intimacy. It's not a bad desire. It's a normal desire. It's one God gave us. But it must be fulfilled God's way, the right way. And that was a huge lesson even for David. You know, his desire wasn't abnormal. It wasn't a wrong desire, but he tried to fulfill it the wrong way. So we've got to keep in mind, sisters, that companionship, there's nothing wrong with desiring it, but let's try to get it fulfilled God's way, the right way. Point number four, what should we do when our desires conflict with obedience to God? We're going to look at John chapter 12, verse 27. We have to look at Jesus.
"Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour."
So what we look at here is we say, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. So we look at what should we do when our desires begin to conflict with obedience to God? Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. We remember the words of the Lord, my grace is sufficient. When he tells us simply to just be still and know that I'm God. Number five, Holy Spirit gives us new desires. Hebrew 8:10.
For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.
So in closing out, we must make our desire for God a top priority. So the last scripture that I'm going to ask to have read is Acts 21:13-14.
Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, this will of the Lord be done.
We must make our desire for God a top priority. Our quality of life now and our soul salvation depends on it. We must strive to move beyond what we feel God requires and desire to grow and mature in Christ to the point where we have a strong desire to do all we can to serve God in a way that will be pleasing unto him. Our desire must be to become more Christ-like, desire self-denial, desire of life of self-sacrifice, desire to forgive and to be forgiven. Why? Because our desires determine our deeds. Our deeds determine our destiny, and our desires control how we live. So sisters, I'm going to say to you in closing, get off the streetcar heading in the wrong direction. It's never too late. Transfer. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Oh my gosh. My little fingers go fast enough. What? I must admit, I got some awesome nuggets. At this time, I'm not going to take up all the time because I know there are several comments that we will receive on today. I'll give you encouragement, Sister Sarah. So I'm going to open up to allow those on the call to just give you some words of encouragement for that awesome word that you just gave us on today. Who on the call would like to begin?
Well, I do want to just say thank you, Sarah, for a wonderful job and just calling our attention to the underlying things that motivate us. So that was just a powerful lesson, and just walking away with desires determine our deeds and our deeds determine our destiny. That's a lot for us to focus on. And I think that it will help all of us just take time to be still, to do those things that we need to do, to just make a difference in our lives.
Amen.
I just want to say that the topic was one that was really captivating, a streetcar named Desire. I think anytime I think about that from now on, I certainly will look at it in a different way as you have presented it. And I thank you for all of those different areas for us to look at. One in particular, you know, when you said you have to fix things from the inside out, know, that is something that I think we sometimes forget. You know, we often think that, okay, you know what, it's going to look good on the outside. I'll get it from the outside, but I'm not getting it from the inside. So we aren't doing it in the way that we are supposed to do. And your questions and how we satisfy the different desires, even the satisfying the right desire in the wrong way. You know, you talked about intimacy, and there are so many things that we can think about how we satisfy believing that we are doing the right thing, but we are going about making that satisfaction in the wrong way. You gave a number of excellent points, and I just appreciate it. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Amen.
Anyone else? Thank you, Sister Davis. Thank you so much, Sarah. That was just awesome. And I too will look at a streetcar named Desire a lot differently. Thank you for all of the scriptures that you gave us to meditate on and to think about when we have those desires of our heart, when we should be focusing on the desires of what the Lord would have us to do. You really gave us some things to think about, and your lesson was just awesome. I love you, and I thank you, and I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
I would just like to say to Sister Sarah that you did a wonderful message, and I really appreciated your analogy with the streetcar. That's a very popular movie, a streetcar called Desire, and I think it's going to stick in our hearts as we take a better look at that from a scriptural and spiritual standpoint. So really appreciate your lesson today.
Thank you, Sister Reddick. Anyone else? I know as a single female, single Christian, I might want a companion one day. But again, I definitely don't want to go on the wrong path of trying to find. I'm going to remain still. I need to increase my relationship with Christ. And you just brought that home, that desire, those desires, they have a way of controlling us. So I appreciate the lesson. I appreciate the examples. Thank you. Is there anyone else? I know we have several comments, but I'm still going to allow those who are on the call to speak.
Hello, this is Sister Charlotte McFarland. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Hello, Sister Davis. Thank you so much for that wonderful words of wisdom. Thank you so much. It's good to hear from you again and to see that you're doing well. Thank God for that. And I know that God uses our crisis. He can use our crisis to lead us and prepare us for the future. And yes. Also, I always ask God to help whatever I do or go through to help make me better and not bitter, because there are lessons in every crisis that we go through, and that we are, if what we do is more has more strength and power than what we say. We are walking sermons. So people really learn by what we do more so than what we say. So thank you so much. I love you all. Thank you all, ladies, for your prayers during my surgery. I'm healing so strong and so great. Thank you, God. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. And amen. I thank you all from the bottom of my heart. And that's all I have to say for now.
Thank you, sis. Thank you. We have several in the chat. Awesome and blessed message from Sister Alma Miller. Sister Doris McCray, what a wonderful message to help us go in the right directions. Sister Elaine Ford, what a wonderful attitude to learn is to correct our desires from the inside out inside of doing the opposite, instead of doing the opposite, and just thank you. So again, we can't say enough for the awesome lesson. Every lesson doesn't have to be 2 hours long to provide a word, you know, and sometimes the best messages are short, sweet, impactful, full of wisdom. And I just hats off to you.
Amen.
This is my first time meeting you, and I'm just grateful that I have the opportunity to be in the room to be able to hear from you today. So
amen.
All right. So any others before I I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording at this time and then open up for any other comments before we go to closing prayer.